Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning and welcome to worship online this Sunday, December 27th. My name is Pastor Lindsay Hall, and it is great to welcome you to worship this day at First United Methodist Church in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. It is great to have you here, but we would love to know that you have been here, that you've been worshiping with us. So I would encourage you to visit our church website, which is www.brightonfumc.org. And there, as you check out our church website, you'll find our connection card. I would encourage you to fill that out so we can know you are worshiping with us today. The connection card also gives you an opportunity to get better connected to the life of the church. If you want to find out more information about music ministry, small groups, missions, children and student ministry, there's an opportunity for you to get connected. Glad you're worshiping with us today. I'd encourage you to share this worship service, to share it with family and friends, neighbors and coworkers, people that don't yet have a spiritual home. Perhaps they'd like to make our church community a part of their spiritual journey. We'd warmly welcome you to share this video with them today. Again, welcome to worship. So glad that you're here.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to be shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring him to me so that I may also pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that had been rising until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for God's people, for which we say, thanks be to God. Well, friends, thank you so much for joining us over these last couple of weeks of Advent and on Christmas Eve as we've read some of these familiar stories that we have heard for years and years, but took on a new and deeper meaning as we moved through Advent in this year. We remember the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah that we heard in the first week of Advent, and reflect on the story of the angel visiting Mary and telling her that she was going to be with child. You heard the story of the shepherds watching the fields by night and remember the incredible amazement that they experienced when they visited Mary and Joseph and realized that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem that day, that they ran out into the streets and told everybody that they could possibly find of the good news of Jesus's birth. It is really quite a remarkable story, and because it's such a remarkable story, there are crests or nativity scenes like this one in many people's homes and out in the front of churches throughout the community and all around the world. These nativity scenes remind us of all of the folks who were there to witness Jesus' birth. You have the angel oftentimes above the nativity scene, and you have animals in this nativity scene, including sheep and a shepherd. In addition to that, of course, you have Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. But in this nativity scene, there are also the Magi, those who had come and visited King Herod and told them that the prophecy had come true, that a baby was to be born in Bethlehem who was to be the Messiah. This, of course, angered Herod, and he sent them out to find Jesus and to tell him exactly where he was born. So the wise men or the Magi went out and went in search of Jesus. Of course, they found him by following the star's light and checked in on him and realized that he was who everybody thought he was going to be, the Messiah, the chosen one, the one that would bring about justice and peace. Well, the Magi, realizing that they had discovered this miraculous birth, chose not to bring that information back to Herod, knowing his devices and what his plan was to kill Jesus, and in fact, all of the other children who are born in Jesus' time. Instead, they decide to go home by another road, avoiding Herod altogether, making sure that Jesus' birth would be safe, that he would be allowed to grow up into the Messiah that we all know him to be. I wonder what the wise men would have felt when they met Jesus for the first time. Sometimes I find myself thinking about what that experience would have looked like, that opportunity that you have when you look new life into the eyes for the first time. Those Magi undoubtedly had stories to tell amongst themselves. They brought gifts, as many people do when a new baby is born, and they celebrated Jesus' birth. But being warned in a dream, they decided to go home by another road. I bet that they felt something incredible and miraculous as they looked into Jesus' eyes, knowing that all of the stories that they had been told and had been passed down from generation to generation had finally come to fruition, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Sometimes you just know something in your heart. And I'm guessing that when the Magi looked into Jesus' eyes, they knew in their hearts that he was going to be special. Why else, after just visiting with Herod, would they have chosen to go home by another road? Why else would they have made sure that Jesus' birth was kept safe? They believed that he was the Messiah. Maybe they didn't know completely, but they trusted. And they made sure that he would grow up. I want to tell you a story that I heard just recently about a football team down in Texas. Now, this wasn't any ordinary football team. Everybody on this particular football team was deaf or near deaf, hard of hearing. And this year, for the first time in the school's history, the Texas School for the Deaf won the football championship in Texas. Now, you may wonder, in a game where a quarterback oftentimes has to yell out play calls or tell his teammates what to do or simply say hut, hut, hike to snap the ball, how it's possible that deaf high schoolers could win a state championship. Well, the truth of the matter is the quarterback didn't yell out any play calls at all. And he never said hike throughout the course of the entire football season. Instead, all of the players on the team listened to the cadence and the drum beat of a massive timpani on the side of the football field that the coach, deaf himself, was banging on. At the end of the day, none of the football players on the Texas high school football team could hear anything. Instead, they felt the drum beats inside the fiber of their being, and they knew exactly what to do. Sometimes we don't have to be told what's right and what's wrong or what to do or what not to do. We simply feel it like a drum beat beating in our heart. And it's our choice in that moment to act on it, to do what we know is right, or to simply go along with the plan that everybody else has in store for us. In 2021, as we turn the page from this year that a lot of us would like to forget, it's been the custom for a lot of us to set some sort of New Year's resolution that by January is usually, you know, exhausted and we barely remember what we resolved to do by the beginning of the year. But my hope as you begin to look at all of the things that 2021 has in store for you, that you would listen to the drumbeat of your own heart and that you would know the playbook that God has for your life. And that you would live out that plan that God has for you. That you would allow yourself to feel the drumbeat that will tell you what's right and what's wrong, what to do and what not to do. That you would live out your life faithfully. And that when you see the star in the sky that points you in the direction that you're supposed to go in, I hope that you have the courage in your heart to follow it. Like the Magi did. Like the Texas High School for the Deaf did when they won the state championship. At the end of the day, I think God is up in heaven pounding a drum for all of us to hear. And while we don't always have the ability to hear God's voice or to look right into God's eyes, I think we do have an opportunity to feel it in our hearts. And that's what this season is all about. Reflecting and pausing to think about what we want the upcoming year to look like, asking ourselves how we might live more faithfully and obediently to God's plan on our life. So I hope you're able to take a moment, maybe as the ball drops and we turn the page from this year to the next, we can simply pause and reflect on all the things that we've learned this year. And in the stillness of the night, may we each have the ability to find that star in the sky that points us to where God is calling us to go. Amen.
Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Let us pray for the world in which the Prince of Peace took flesh and form, saying, "Hear us, O God, your mercy is great." We give you thanks, Holy One, for the light that has come into the darkness of our world, for the truth illuminated, for the pathway that has opened, for the rejoicing of your people. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We give you thanks for the feet of those who bring good news and friendship and comfort, food and shelter and medicine for healing. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We give you thanks for the Church of Jesus Christ and for all people of faith whose attention to the way of peace tears down walls that keep us apart. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. We give you thanks for this country and for every nation where wisdom reigns, where leaders work for the well-being of the poor so that no one is hungry or homeless and every child is valued and nourished. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. We pray for the knowledge and courage to be good stewards of all that you have given us, ourselves, our neighbors, the strangers among us, the oceans and rivers, the air and the soil, the creatures large and small, that we may continue to be blessed with health and life. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. We pray for those whose flesh is harmed by poverty and sickness and cruelty of any kind, that the Word made flesh may so fill our world with the power to heal, that all people would be made strong and whole. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. We pray for those concerns yet unnamed this day, yet we lift them silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. We commend all these things to you and offer our thanksgiving, trusting that we have that what we have left unsaid, that your holy wisdom can unearth. In the name of the one who came among us, in the power of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as children of God, let us pray together the prayer in which Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For all that God has given us, we give thanks. For the many blessings in life, we give thanks. For the opportunity to be a part of the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ, we give thanks. For the opportunity to transform the world, to build God's kingdom here on earth now in very real and tangible ways, we give thanks. We come now to this time of offering where we can share our gratitude and thanks to God through our tithes, through our offerings. Our giving back to God through the church is a way that we can show our joyfulness and show our gratitude for all that we've been given. So I'd encourage you now to either go online and give or mail in your church offerings. However you choose to do so, know that it is a blessing to God as you give.
Hey friends, we hope that you enjoyed this morning service. More importantly, we hope that you had a wonderful Christmas Eve, and we're praying that you have a wonderful new year. I'm guessing many of you will be joining me in celebrating the end of 2020, as we have much to look forward to in the coming year. We hope that you'll take a moment to listen to these announcements. There are several important things going on here at the church that we hope that you'll know about in this video. First of all, I want to let you know that there are a bunch of small groups that will be launching in the coming weeks. We encourage you to sign up for one to help you to continue to grow in your faith and expand your understanding of Jesus Christ. Those opportunities will be launching in the next couple of weeks here, so please stay tuned to make sure that you have a complete listing of all the small groups that we're offering here at the church. Secondly, if you'd like to have a gift count for the 2020 fiscal year, we would ask that you would send your gifts in before December 30th of this year, and we will make sure that those gifts are counted for this year. Finally, we want to let you know that our COVID task force continues to meet and discern when it's safe for us to be back together in the sanctuary. We can't wait for this special day when we're all able to be back here together, and we invite you to stay tuned and continue to follow along with us. We pray that that day is coming very soon. We're excited to be back together, and we can't wait to see each other once again. So we hope that you have a blessed week, enjoy the holiday, and we can't wait to see you back here again next week as we worship together once again with our brand new sermon series, 3 a.m., a sermon series that will explore all the things that keep us up in the middle of the night. See you next week.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.